though, we'll be joined by Richard Guest this evening, a great, great actor. You saw him last year in ABC's Marvel's Inhumans. We're joined on the air by Aaron Hendry. Aaron, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Tim. How are you doing this evening?
You're really good. Really good. I got to ask you the obvious question. Father's Day today. Did you do anything special for Father's Day?
Well, I did a show today.
Awesome.
Before we did that, the Screaming Monster got us up at about 5:45. We went downstairs and we were over at Grandma's house, stomped around for a while, and then went out and had some breakfast out. It was good. It was nice. I went down that night.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, yeah. I've got to ask you, since the whole superhero comic book thing has taken the world in Hollywood by storm.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You were very fortunate to be a part of, for some time, Marvel's Inhuman. Yes. Can you walk me through how being, is it different as an actor being in a comic book property based piece rather than being in, you know, Gone with the Wind or a Western or a rom-com? Do you have to prepare differently when it's a comic book story?
You know what's so interesting about the fact that there's so much Marvel property right now is that they each have their different sort of style.
Right.
You have everything from Agent Carter to the X-Men or whatever the heck. Right. And that you have ones that are really handled as incredibly fantastical. And then ones that are very much these human dramas, like a Luke Cage or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That, you know. And in the case of Inhumans, you know, that was a story where it's a very beloved cult part of the Marvel franchise, where all of the characters are these bizarre superheroes with
right.
these weird powers from different planets. And so that was really fun because it's a big piece of creative invention when you get to work on something like that.
And the fans are, they're intense, aren't they? They know the underlying material, like you deviate one micron from it. Don't they just kind of troll you?
They suddenly know things about you that you're stunned they know. Like, like just the tiniest things will come out
right.
in scripted material, and immediately, like, the tumblers and the tweets and everything right. are going like, well, so-and-so is coming onto the show playing so-and-so, which means he's the sister of this guy who's from that planet. You're just like, whoa, man. But it's totally awesome. You know?
You feel like you're on under a microscope at sometimes?
Sometimes, but it's, like I said, the fun thing about getting to be part of the franchise that isn't a Spider-Man, you know what I mean, that is really
right.
more of like a dug-in, die-hard fan, is that there was some license. Like people really enjoyed seeing what bizarre angle we were going to take on these characters, and that was a lot of fun. Plus, we had the whole section of it shot in Hawaii, and
nice.
You know, you get to go to, you know, go to Hawaii shooting some film. It was a pretty fun job to work.
Yeah. Now I've got to ask you: have you hit the conference circuit yet? Or are you going to put that off until quasi-retirement? That's kind of your 401k, going to go around and do the conferences.
You know what I did more with that? I was on a show called for MTV called Teen Wolf.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that was a giant fandom show. So that was really the show that I traveled the Comic-Cons with and
right.
stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. You know, because again, it's you know, the fans really for that kind of show, the fandom is what it's all about. And
right.
the fandom is what drives it and keeps it alive, you know?
I love how that's become like a phrase or a point of reference, fandom. It's like the geeks out there who are so on this or obscure that or just completely piled in on these shows. Mm-hmm. It's a real community out there.
It is. And it's, you know, you're right. It's a great term because what the term points out, it is that it's the important element. Like this, almost more than it belongs to the people making the show,
right.
there is this feeling that it belongs to them, you know, at least there was with Teen Wolf, that
right.
it really belonged to the people who held the show as beloved, you know.
And there's a fanaticism or an intensity. It's like you could say, well, I remember watching Mork and Mindy, and I loved me that Fantasy Island, but I was never as invested in it.
Yeah, but there wasn't like the social media that exists now than it was then. I mean,
Well, and it's, you know, I think the oldest comparable to me is the Star Trek franchise.
That's right.
You know, which we always forget, like, the original Star Trek was really just like a handful of episodes. It was something like three seasons.
Yeah.
Like, you can binge watch them all in a couple hours or something like that. But it was, you know, I think what it had in common was that it was the invention of such a fresh and intriguing world that could extrapolate itself endlessly.
Yeah.
You know, it could just keep going in all directions. And I think that's the fun of a lot of these supernatural and superhero shows, is that it's a world that can just keep expanding and expanding and expanding, you know? And I think the creators sort of have a give and take. The smart ones have a give and take with the fandom of, they listen. Like, they have their finger on the pulse of what's striking and what those people are really excited to see next, you know?
The great thing that you mentioned about Star Trek, and I've made this point before, I'll make it again now, we now talk about binge watching.
Right.
We used to have a form of binge watching that shows like Star Trek were capable of. Kids out there won't know this, but there was something called reruns.
Right.
I know, growing up in Southern California, Star Trek came on at 11 p.m., and it came on every night, and it's 76, 77 shows, five nights a week. That's like 3 months. You get the whole oeuvre, or Twilight Zone. You used to be able to binge on that.
The marathons. I used to love the marathons.
Oh, right.
Star Trek Saturday. they'd show like the nine different Chuck Norris films all in a row, and you could start Saturday at 11 a.m. and by 9 p.m. you were 11 years old, certain you were a kung fu expert.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, how about the Bruce Lee films? I remember that.
The Bruce Lee films, and I remember there was some holiday, and I can't remember what it was, that they showed every Twilight Zone back to back. I think it was Halloween or something like that. Now, I've got to ask you, you don't just do these fandom intense kind of social media favorite productions. You also are a theater actor. Can you tell us a little bit about the production you're involved in now?
Right now, I'm with a company called Not Man Apart, which I love this company. It's a physical theater ensemble, which means what they do is they do scripted pieces, standard narrative pieces, but a lot of the interaction, a lot of the blocking, which is the basic walking around, is replaced with leaping and dancing and jumping and flying over the table.
That's got to be physical.
And it's wonderful. And the notion behind it really is that it's sort of the same idea as a musical, that there's these moments in life that somehow the emotions of them and the stakes of them feel bigger than just a pedestrian movement.
Okay.
And so it's a company that in the same way a musical would allow someone to burst out in song, the actors burst out in these dance numbers in the middle of the scene that are often extended and often just a few seconds, and then the scene carries on. And it's very sort of athletic and thrilling theater. And it, you know, what I like about that form is that it shakes the audience up. The audience is always going, what the heck is going on here?
Oh my God. Catch them by surprise. I mean, you go to classical theater, you're not expecting parkour. And all of a sudden, it just happens.
Yeah, and it gets them in a space where, you know, you sort of gobsmack them and then shove in the little bits of truth that you're trying to impart.
Right.
Because that company typically does reworks of various classics. And right now, they're doing... that I'm involved with, they're doing a rework of the Greek play Lysistrata.
Oh, yes.
An adaptation that was written by the Cuban playwright Eduardo Machado, and we've got the world premiere of it, and it's really an incredible, exciting piece.
Fantastic. Well, can you tell our listeners how they can find out more information? I presume there's a website.
Yes. Yeah, it's performing in conjunction with the Odyssey Theater Ensemble. The Odyssey Theater Ensemble is the producing host in association with Not Man Apart, and both those websites, either odysseytheater.com or notmanapart.com, have all the information. The show runs currently through August 4th, and stars an amazing actress, Brenda Strong, who's currently on 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, great show.
Girl, and before that, it, one of those actresses who just, she's a beautiful 6-foot blonde and is amazing in the role.
Wow.
And, just an actress who you've been watching your whole, everyone's been watching their whole life and really knocks it out of the park. So yeah, odysseytheater.com or notmanapart.com both have a link to the ticketing calendar.
Awesome. I want to thank you so much, Aaron Hendry. You saw and loved him on Marvel's Inhumans. Go and see him do this great, great version of Lysistrata. Thank you so much, Aaron, for being on The Bigger Picture.
Thanks so much. Have a great evening, guys.
Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial